Man, those stories are always fun. And I love looking at people's face and seeing there's somebody who's doing well. I want that for all of us, no matter where you are right now, no matter where we are. We're getting in a journey so that someone can look at you and go, man, that person is doing well. Let's pray right now before I get into giving information that's going to serve us well in the weeks ahead. God, I thank you for being a God who gives life. You gave life to us that we're all here right now with beating hearts. And I know you want to give spiritual life to us. You want to give emotional life to us. You want to give occupational life to us. You want to give every sort of life that's possible that brings us closer to you and the life you designed for us. So help me to be helpful in that process. I pray that I would be clear. I pray that we would sense you today. And I ask most importantly that you would help me to honor you with all that's said. And I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen. So the journey has begun. You know, what is a journey? A journey is when you are going to a different place and all different aspects of your humanity is tapped into. Lib and I went on a journey from Pittsburgh to Cincinnati to help start Crossroads 23 years ago. It was an emotional journey. It was a spiritual journey. It was a physical journey. It was a relational journey, different relationships. That was a journey. Simply flying to Florida, that's a different location, but it's not a journey. I've been out west camping before, and whenever I'm doing that, it is a journey. It's a physical journey. It's an emotional journey. It's a dirt journey. It's all kinds of different things. A couple years ago, had the opportunity to retrace the footsteps of the Apostle Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament. Actually, I didn't retrace his footsteps. I was in a van that had the air conditioning broken down on it. So, but let me tell you what, you're in a van in Turkey and in Greece, the air conditioning is working, that's a journey. That's a journey. It stretched my rear end. It stretched everything. It was difficult. There's something about difficulty, and this journey isn't necessarily going to be difficult. This is going to be very, very rewarding and very, very fun. But there's something about a multi-pronged approach of physical engagement, relational engagement, physical, emotional, spiritual. We're going to have it all right here and now. And where was this birth? Where did this come from? I had an epiphany about a decade or so ago about play that just revolutionized my life and actually revolutionized me in being able to be purposeful, being able to be productive in my life. And I've been thinking about these things and you've heard me talk about some of these things the last few years you've been around Crossroads, but something really crystallized for me about a year and a half ago when we had a tryout out on our base camp property last weekend. If you were here, you saw a video clip that we showed, a little snippet of a video series we're going to stream someplace in January of a motorcycle trip out in Colorado with people who were newer off-road riders. And a year and a half ago, we had a tryout where you could come and try out to be on the show. It was after a bunch of other things had done. We invited, I don't know, was 50 people or something like that to come. And we were very clear that the best riders don't go. This isn't about seeing who's the best riders. This is about seeing that you're not going to kill yourself on a motorcycle. That was the main thing. It wasn't the riding. It was their story. What are you dealing with? All these kind of things. And as we got to the end of the day, I started feeling really bad because a lot of these people had wrecked motorcycles. They had bruises on them. They had stood outside in the cold. It was sunny, but it was very, very cold. And I realized that only, you know, I don't know what it was, one in five of them or something like that was actually going to go on the trip. So I started saying my apologies. Hey, I'm really sorry that we're not going to be able to take everybody. I don't know who it's going to be, but I'm sorry we can't take everybody. And person after person looked me in the face and said, sorry? What do you mean sorry? This is the best day that I've had for decades. I don't remember the last time I played. I don't remember the last time I lost myself in something that wasn't my job. Whether I go on the trip or not, this has been amazing. Thank you. And that was really cool to hear, and it was also really sad to hear, because I think that reflects probably the way most of us are. Most of us, either one of two things. We can't remember the last time we got lost in our job and just expended ourselves and having a purpose. Do you know why you are on planet Earth? And this week, is that making any difference? We can't remember the last time we were fully absorbed in a work week, and we can't remember the last time we forgot about work. We can't remember the last time we just were silly. We can't remember the last time we were unproductive or not trying to be unproductive. Play and purpose. That's my heart for you, because when that happens in your life, in my life, we get to prosper. In the book of Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers." He prospers. Now, think of this image here for me, if you will. Think about this multi-sensory experience. There's a tree. It's big, it's lush, it's beautiful, it's offering shade. You're underneath of the tree. Beside it, there's a rushing brook, babbling, rushing brook, where you can hear the water rushing right beside you, and the tree is digging its roots down deep, deep in the soil, and you are caught up in the visual beauty of it, the audio beauty of it, and you reach up and you take off a fruit and you bite into that fruit and the juice of that fruit, not the broccoli, not the Brussels sprouts, the fruit, the juices start dripping down your chin and you feel the cold breeze, and in that moment, you feel God. It's like in that moment, you are prospering. When is the last time you've lost yourself in something? Where it's like you've been transported into a different time-space continuum, and you feel closer to God. We can get that when we're high purpose, and we can get that when we're high play. Here's a matrix we're going to be working on in the guides that you will get later on. Imagine a life that is high on play. This is high, very, very high on play. And is high on purpose. This is purpose. Very, very high on purpose. What would it be if you were in this section here? High, high purpose, very low play. What would your life be if you were all about purpose, all about work, all about getting stuff done? Go, 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 go. Eventually, it would be painful, right? It would be painful. That is not a good way to jump into a pool. That is not. But when we're only purpose, we're only going, it is painful. Now, let's look at the other extreme. Let's imagine it's all play. It's all play. It's all coloring books. It's all golf. It's all movies. It's all camping. It's all bicycle riding. It's all finger painting. It's all dime store trash novels. It's all that. It's only that. Only that. On and on. If you were only getting play, you had no purpose in your life would be pointless. Pointless. What would be the point of life if all we were doing is having pumpkins on our heads and going like this in the fields? What would be the point? Wouldn't be much of a point. If, on the other extreme, if we were no play and no purpose, and there are people who are like this, by the way, no play and no purpose. There are retired people who have no purpose in their life, and they have no play. Play, as we're going to find out, is a multi-sensory lose yourself in a thing. It's not just a single solo thing you do. So there's retired people who don't work, have no purpose. Not that you have to have a work, have a purpose, but they have no purpose, and they watch TV all day. This was also me, by the way, in high school. This is me. I had no college aspirations, education. I had no purpose when I was in school. I didn't understand the value of school. And I would just come home from school and I would plop down and I would just watch F Troop or the Munsters or Speed Racer and Chim Chim and Spritel. Who remembers Chim Chim and Spritel? Who's over 50 and white? Come on now. Yeah. You know, when you're this way, when you are low on purpose and low on actual play, your life becomes pitiful. Your life is pitiful. You're not sure what the point of the whole thing is. Now, where we want to get to is we want all of us to get to a place where we are high play and high purpose. When that happens, we get to prosper. This is where prosperity happens, where we prosper. Now, the thing about prospering here, and this is, I'm not going to dig deep into play today. I'm not going to dig deep into purpose today. I'm going to dig into and today. I'm going to dig big into the ampersand. Yes, the ampersand. That is the stupidest name for a symbol I've ever known. The ampersand. It should just be the and sign, but it's actually called the ampersand. But we're going to deal with the and today because it's in the and, not where we try to mash two things together and make an omelet, but where we keep things separate, where it's purpose and play. And actually, in the midst of our journey, it's going to be teaching and interaction. It's going to be personal reflection and engagement. It's going to be things on our digital devices, digital, and it's going to be analog. In this video, I'll tell you how.
Hey, my name is Matt Welty. I lead technology here at Crossroads. And if this is your very first journey you're ever doing with us, welcome. We think it's going to be life-changing. And I think this video is going to help you get the most out of the journey. If you've done a bunch of these with us, I want you to pay really close attention because we've changed the entire way the journey works. In years past, you've done all your individual journey work. The homework leading up to your group time inside the Crossroads Anywhere app. This year, we got rid of all the homework. There's no homework. There's no individual work for you to do inside the app. Instead, you're gonna get one of these incredible play and purpose guides. These are chock full of exercises you can do all throughout the journey to explore the concepts of play and purpose. We've also changed up how group time's gonna work. In past journeys, you've used the app to help facilitate a conversation. This year, if you're spending your group time, spending hours answering questions in a living room, you're doing it wrong. We want you to have a blast this year. And so we've given your group leader a leader guide inside the Crossroads Anywhere app that they can use to get conversations going, to help everybody get to know each other and explore these concepts together. But we mostly want you to get out there and play and explore them in real life. So this year, for the first time, we've added group chat to the Crossroads Anywhere app. That's right. You can actually create a chat with all the members of your group. So now your group life can operate more like your real life. And you can subscribe within that chat to the play and purpose prompts. These are daily conversation starters that your group's gonna get inside the group chat. And then throughout your day, whenever it works best for you, you're able to get to know each other and explore these concepts together. That way, when you get together for your actual group meeting, you can go out there and have a blast. Let me show you how to set up a group chat. Open up the Crossroads Anywhere app and go to the group chat icon right down here. Start a new chat by clicking this button up here. Find the people in your group and hit next. Just like that, you're in a group chat. Go up to the settings and turn play and purpose prompts on. These prompts are gonna start coming week 3 of the journey. This journey is going to be amazing. So make sure you get in a group, you start a group chat, and you subscribe to the play and purpose prompts. I'm excited together in this journey to figure out how we get the most out of life through play and purpose.
So digital and analog, when we're in multi-pronged things, we get stimulated to a different degree. I want us to think about the beauty of the and. Jim Collins, the old business guru, used to call it the genius of the and. I want to talk about the beauty of the and, not just digital and analog, but when two things that seem like they're totally separate from one another, totally can't mix, when we bunch them together and put an and in between them, something powerful often happens. Let's see if you can complete these phrases of beautiful things that and brings together. Day and day and night. I mean, both got to happen, both of them, right? Fully. If you just kind of meld them and have dusk all day long, that wouldn't be any good. Day and night. How about up and sweet and I say salty, sour, salty, whatever. We know the beauty of when sweet mixes with something else. Burgers and Surf and bourbon and bourbon and anything. I just heard. My man needs to be going to an AA meeting up here. Somebody, bourbon and anything. All right. Coffee and cigarettes. Come on, are you kidding me? It's this church. We can be honest here. All right. Peaches and sunny and pen and pen and teller, yes. Stay up and sleep in. Staying up and sleeping in. And here's one, go back over the spiritual side of the spectrum. Works and faith. Works and faith. There's this really odd thing that people have when it comes to experiencing God. We have people who oftentimes don't put the and together. Some of us, it's just all about faith. It's all about what I believe. It's all about what I believe Jesus has done for me by going to a cross for me, me receiving him by faith. Others of us, it's all about doing the right things, obeying the Ten Commandments, and I obey the Ten Commandments, and I feed the poor, and I volunteer in kids' club, and I do these things so I can get to God. Well, neither one of these, both of these, I don't know, they come together, really, they do. They live together. We have to have faith, and when we have faith, we will have works. We will want to do those kind of things. Those two things separated by an and is a powerful thing. My favorite description of Jesus in the entire Bible is in the book of John, chapter 1:14. It says that Jesus came from the Father, the only Son of God, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. This idea of grace and truth, you gotta have the and here. These are two different things, seemingly. Grace is, you get another chance. God's okay with you. There's forgiveness. Truth is, this is the way it needs to be. You gotta do X, Y, Z. God is this very definitively. Well, how do these two come together? They don't just kind of modify each other. They are separated by an and so we can live fully with both of them. This thing blows me away. This is how Jesus is described. It blew me away so much that he is fully grace and fully truth that I chose to tattoo myself. It's the only tattoo I have on my body. I'm sorry, I should have wiped the perspiration off my body after I was done working out, but that actually is my tattoo. That's on my tattoo on my left shoulder. And the reason it's there is because I wanted to be, that's not my body either. No, it's not, but that is my tattoo still. I love the image of grace and truth coming together. We need the and. Check out some other verses and you see the beauty of the and, because in this journey, I'm not going to try to give us 50-50, 50% purpose, 50% play. We're not going to do that. When it's time, we're going to give 100% purpose, be on task. And when it's time, we're going to give 100% play, get out and waste some time. But look at how many times an and pops up in different verses. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life. And if that's not enough, and have it abundantly. Do you feel this way? Do you feel that your life is full of abundance? Or do you feel like someone's constantly trying to steal from you? Do you feel like someone's trying to constantly take your energy? Do you feel like someone's trying to destroy your peace of mind? I tell you what, if most of us were honest, the average American inside of us, and most of us in here are Americans, would go like, man, I do not feel that. I feel like someone's always breathing down my neck. I feel like something's always about to break. I feel like I'm spinning my wheels. I feel like I'm on the treadmill. I feel like I'm in the grind. This is the way we feel. We do not feel as Americans that we have life, let alone abundant life. Friends, we need this. The way to prosperity, at least two aspects of prosperity, there's a lot of others, but two that we're looking at is purpose, being about purpose, knowing why God has put me on this planet, knowing that my life makes a difference, and simply blowing off and laughing and knowing that he's a dad who wants to see his children play. Someone has stolen from us, and I want us to consider someone has stolen the and from us. Someone has stolen the and from us and told us that we can have playful purpose. No, we can't. And told us we can have purposeful play. No, we can't. Stop stealing the and. You can have purpose and we can have play. God has work and he has rest. In the book of Exodus chapter 20, it says this, as God has formed all of the world, he says, the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. This is what God does. He works and he rests. We need to have purpose and we need to have play. For years, I've said for a long time, I hate the phrase, I need to attain balance. I need work-life balance. I hate that phrase. I need to attain balance. I don't understand what that means. Balance, in my mind, is one of those old balances, and everything is 50-50. So as soon as everything's 50-50, your life is okay. Let me tell you something. Nothing in life is ever 50-50. If you're going to be married and have a great marriage, it needs to be 100-100. You need to outweigh your spouse in terms of how you serve them. When you are at work, there's no like balance. You need to be totally at work. This balancing doesn't make sense to me. The reason we get someplace is because I'm off balance and I can walk. I'm off balance and I can walk. I'm off balance and I can walk. So the balance illustration for how our life is to work, I never understood. But I understand there's some good things about it. There's a new one that's coming that's been out. I just found out about this one. A friend of mine in corporate America said, yeah, the thing we talk about in our business a lot is having a blended life. I said, blended? What do you mean blended? Well, you know, when we're at work, our employer is fine that we're using company Wi-Fi to send personal emails. Our company's fine that we're making personal calls during the day every once in a while. Our company's fine that if we've got to leave in the afternoon for an hour or so and do a closing on a new home, that's okay, versus the old days, no, you can't leave. Once you're here, you're here. No, you can't use the company computers for anything that isn't work-related. No, you can't. Now we understand that there's a blend. And also on the other side, he said, when you're at home, you're going to be answering emails. You're going to be doing texts to people. You're going to be having planning sessions and thinking when the kids go to bed and doing it. And I thought, yeah, that probably is an illustration that's more real to life, but I kind of long for the old days of balance, if that's where we're going. Because the blend gets rid of the and. At least with a balance scale, there's two distinctly separate things. Once you mash your life up into one omelet, where all of your play is your work and your work is your play, I'm telling you, friends, it doesn't work. It doesn't. These are two entirely different things. And we need to excel at purpose, and we need to excel at play. And some of us are excelling at play, and you're gonna get smacked in the mouth with purpose. And some of us are excelling at play, and you're gonna get a kick in the rear from your God. Yes, God is gonna kick you in the rear about play. He's gonna say to you, I am not happy that my son, my child, my daughter is not having fun. No parent likes to see their kids studying all the time. They don't. If we don't see our kid in the sandbox every once in a while or playing a sport or something, we're going to go, what is wrong with Jill? What is wrong with Bernard? What is wrong here? They're never smiling. They're never happy. We need to embrace the and. And this is what I love about my God, your God, our God, is that he embraces the end. He lives it, and he actually commands it. In the book of Exodus, chapter 21, or chapter 31, here's what he says. Above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths. Now, the Sabbath is one day out of seven for the ancient Jews, where they were to not work at all. Play is part of Sabbath. I'm not going to say the play is Sabbath. It can be part of it. For the purposes of today and much of the other stuff, I'm equating oftentimes Sabbath to play, but Sabbath, there's activities that happen in Sabbath that aren't necessarily play, but just hang with me for a moment. Above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths. This is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. I love, I have a God that says, if you work 7 days, I will kill you. That's what it says. That's what God says. He says, if you have purpose 7 days, if you can't slow down and do nothing, if you think everything revolves around you, you and me are not good, if you're not checking out and doing nothing purposeful, you have a problem with me. That's awesome. Why do we think that God smites us for bad things? That's a good thing God smites us for. God still smites, maybe. Maybe he's going to smite some of us if we don't get our rear in gear and start playing more often. Because play only happens when we're off. Play doesn't happen when we're trying to close the sale. Play doesn't happen when I'm trying to put together the message, when I'm trying to put together the sermon. It doesn't. It doesn't at all. We need to, two things, I'm going to keep saying these two things over and over. Live playfully. Let me give you another verse. This is a description from Jesus. It's from the Message translation. And here's what Jesus says. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Let's live freely and lightly. That just kind of feels good, doesn't it? There's a lightness. There's a playfulness to it. We need to get more playful, friends. Maybe that's one of the reasons why people get out of churches so much. We're just not very playful. We're always serious. We're upset. We're all about raising the standard and doing God the realm. Oh, man. What happens if we just live lightly, be a little free? And what happens if we live purposefully? The same person, Jesus, who says, leave freely and lightly, he says to them, you know what my food is? My food is to do the will of him who sent me and accomplish his work. Well, it's like, wait a minute, where's the live lightly guy? Jesus says, you know how I get nourished? I get nourished by being on purpose. I get nourished by doing the work of God. That's what I'm about. Wait, who are you, Jesus? Wait, are you live lightly guy? Are you live freely guy? Or are you get the work done guy? He's both. That's why he did what he did in 33 years. That's why you'd have no understanding at all of how somebody from 30 to 33 could literally change the world like he did. That we would date time after him, that he would be known as the greatest teacher ever, that even atheists can't find anything wrong with his character. How did he do this? Part of how he did this was he embraced the and. He had purpose and he had work, so much work that he stretched himself out on a cross and died. And he was funny. There's been books written about the humor of Jesus. We don't get it because he had this weird first century Jewish humor that we didn't get. But he was actually a very funny guy. He was playful. He let his hair down. He kept the Sabbath. I think that most of us in here are stuck in a rut. You're stuck in a rut of purpose, trying to have everything have meaning, trying to have everything have a point, trying to have everything build digits in your account, trying to have everything add value to somebody. You're stuck in a rut there, or you're stuck in a rut of only working so you can get to the weekend. Everybody's working for the weekend. Lover boy, you're hoping, you're just waiting for the weekend. You're waiting to retire. You're at your desk and you're dreaming about whatever. You're just playing, you're trying to fix. And here's what for all of us, if we're in either one of these ruts, all I want us to do is just go like this. Let's try the other rut this next 5 weeks. Let's stretch ourselves, because this rut where we are is not stretching us. It's killing us. In fact, that's what a rut is. It's a grave with the ends kicked out. And we have lifeless looks on our face all over the country. We have a lack of zeal, a lack of zest, a lack of excitement for what might be coming down the pike with our life. And the reason why we're not more successful in our purpose very well may be that we're not keeping Sabbath. And the reason why our Sabbath, our play, might not be so fresh is because we can't identify the last time we were purposeful. We can't. Can you identify last year? What's something you did last year that's still enduring and you're thankful you did last year? If you can't think of something like that, you might have a purpose outage. Can you think of something you did last summer where you just lost time? You lost yourself in it. Can you think of something last summer? Not. You may have a play outage. And if you can't have memories of either of those, boy, the enemy is stolen from you. He's stolen from you, and God wants to steal you back. He's not happy unless he sees somebody, one of his children, who has life, who has abundant life. So last week I was I gave nine different talks over 5 days. Over a 5 day period, I gave nine different talks. And I must say I pretty much nailed them. I gotta hand it to myself. I gotta hand it to myself. I did one of them not so much so. At least 8 out of the 9 I did really, really well. And do you know why I was able to do that? I mean, it's hard. I mean, I know when someone gets on stage, if they do it a lot, you go, oh, that guy, that woman makes it look easy. But there's a lot of work that goes into it. It's crazy. Right now, my adrenal glands are open right now, and I'm doing everything I can to read a crowd and to anticipate what you're thinking and try to sense what I need to do to keep your attention, and I'm trying to be aware of how I'm getting physically engaged. I'm burning serious calories around here. I'm telling you, it is full on, full contact, all of me, mental, emotional, all of me. How did I possibly, over 5 days, create and give 9 different talks? It's because the week before that, I did nothing. That's why. It was the week before that, I played. The week before that, I didn't think about anything that I was going to say. Play is when you lose yourself in what you're doing. I was camping. I was out west. I was in a total different place. And so when I hit purpose, boom, I had fresh stuff. It was just there in the tank. This is the beauty of when we bring these two things close together, separated by an and. The Bible says 3,100 times it talks about prosperity. 3,100 times. And I have to tell you, when I look in the face of the average person I bump into every day, I'm not seeing prosperity. When I look into the life of the average person I know, I'm not seeing abundance. I'm not seeing joy. I'm not seeing it. I'm just not. In Genesis 1:28, last verse I'll share with you. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. There should be a multiplying aspect of your life. There should be a fruitfulness on our life. It should be there. Oh, friend, I just want to ask you, where else are you going to go, and anywhere in culture where someone is going to help you find your purpose? Where would that be? Where are you going to go anywhere in culture where someone's going to give you a theological, a practical, and encouragement understanding of playing and disconnecting and acting like a little kid again? You can't get either one of those, let alone both of those, but you can get them in this journey. Friend, I'm telling you right now, life is going to come back to your face if you take this journey seriously. I'm telling you right now, if you push yourself and do the things that we've laid out, we've prayed about this, we've been working on this for a year and a half. If you will do everything that we're encouraging you to do and get engaged relationally, digitally, tactilely, prayerfully, worshipfully, all the things that we have, I'm telling you, you have a greater shot at feeling prosperous, of feeling abundant life in you than anything else you could possibly do in the next 5 weeks. I promise you. You cannot think of anything, and there's nothing you could plan, nothing you could research that has a greater shot at giving you a shot in the arm than what we've got planned for you the next 6 weeks. There's nothing else that you can think of, you can look for, that you're going to get a full program for 6 months, you don't have to pay for it, that's meant to charge you up spiritually, it's meant to get you to your God. How often do you get that choice? How often do you get that chance? Take advantage of this, friends. I'm telling you, take advantage of this. This, we don't get anything from you. We want nothing from you. We want something for you. We want nothing from you. We want something for you. We want for you to prosper, to feel life, to smile again, to have focus again. That's what your dad wants. God, I thank you for being a God who isn't an ogre, who isn't a slave driver, that you want your children to enjoy life, to take a break, to take a Sabbath. And I thank you for being a God that includes us in your work and wants to put us on a path to be productive. You're amazing that both of those things reside inside of your mind and reside inside of your call for us. So help us encounter that. Lead us to the right groups in the next 2 weeks. Most importantly, lead us to you. And I pray these things according to the name of Jesus. Amen.